Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I wanted to touch on the larger topic of statue removal and street renaming of controversial and problematic historical figures. And I wanted to look at that in the context of the Theodore Roosevelt statue that was just removed from the Museum of Natural History, the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, up in New York City. And so this episode is going to answer three questions, primarily. I'm going to break them down one section at a time here. Number one, why was the statue there in the first place? And what did it mean? Number two, why did it get taken down? And number three, what are my thoughts on this particular instance, and what are my larger thoughts on renaming streets, statues, signs, and taking those statues down, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to get into it right now then to answer the question that why was the statue there in the first place? So Theodore Roosevelt was born in New York City. There's still a memorial to his birthplace in the city, in Manhattan. And he was born and raised there. He grew up in New York City, and he would work, he would go out and visit with, you know, out in Long Island. He would stay there and go out in the woods and things like that growing up. He was born to a very wealthy family in the city, and he is a New Yorker through and through. Eventually, he was the governor of New York State, and obviously, as many of you know, he went on to be the president of the United States. And throughout all that, he was a big proponent of conservation in nature. When he was president of the United States, obviously many of you know he created the National Park Service, and he dedicated acres and acres and acres of land to be public land and to never be used for resource extraction and to be preserved as they were at the time that he was president. In addition to that, Roosevelt took a number of trips around the world. Particularly, he took a long safari in Africa where he collected thousands of animal specimen and plant specimen and brought them back to the Smithsonian. That's the connection there, to the Smithsonian for research purposes. And he did the same thing in South America. He took a trip down there and documented the journey, mapped out different regions, and brought back specimens to the United States in terms of documenting what's going on in the rest of the world. So Roosevelt, it was a man who was associated with nature and conservation and environmental protection. He was really the first one to really do this in a very concrete way in terms of policy. And in fact, in one instance, while he was president, a bill had passed through Congress to dedicate some lands that would be used for mineral extraction and resource extraction. But Roosevelt vetoed the bill and wrote an executive order immediately countering that, saying that all of those lands and then some would be preserved for as a national park, or at least not, maybe not a park, but at least preserved and would not be used for extracting resources. They would be preserved as they are. So why this statue's here is because he's a homegrown New Yorker who grew up in the city, was a governor of New York, worked in the state, was elected to the state legislature in New York before that, was the president, and was a huge symbol of conservation and protection of the natural world from human hands. And so that's why the statue of him is there. Now, there's a lot of debate as to why the two other figures on his side, one of the black man and the Native American man, are there with him. For those of you who don't know the statue, what it looked like, it was Theodore Roosevelt on a horse, and there was a black man and a Native American man on either side of him. And so that's how it looks. And there's a lot of debate as to what all of the designers and all intended when they were, and the sculptors and all intended when they were making the statue. So let me just pull straight from a quote here from the architect of the statue. He said that in the center of the terrace will arise a polished granite pedestal bearing on an equestrian statue of Roosevelt with two accompanying figures on foot, one representing the American Indian and the other the primitive African. This heroic group will symbolize the fearless leadership, the explorer, benefactor, and educator. And that was from John Russell Pope. That was the architect. So now when we go down to the sculptor, which is James Earl Fraser, he said, quote, "The two figures at Roosevelt's side are guides symbolizing the continents of Africa and America, and if you choose, may stand for Roosevelt's friendliness to all races." So that was the intent. However, this is not an entirely clean history. As I said, the statue is laid out in a way where Roosevelt is elevated above the African American, the black man, and the Native American man on either side of him. He's elevated. And why this is a particularly complicated notion is that Roosevelt was a proponent of eugenics, which is discredited at this point. But at the time, in the early 1900s, was a theory and a science-based evaluation of the different races, and basically tried to posit that white people were better than everyone else through scientific methods, things like measuring skulls to check brain size, et cetera, et cetera. It was a very racist science, and it did not produce anything in terms of meaningful, discourse. And it was thoroughly a phony enterprise from start to finish, and it's been widely discredited ever since then. But Roosevelt believed in that at the time, and at the same time, he was not a man with progressive views on race, even for his time. And if you look at some things he said, I'm not going to get into them because they're quite unpleasant. But you can definitely look them up on your own time. It's really not good. Things he said about specifically Black Americans and Native Americans. Which ironically happen to be the two groups that are on either side and are represented in this statue that makes this hierarchical form. And that's something that Roosevelt would have believed in. He's believed that that white Europeans are the reason why the United States is so great, and he pushed for other countries like South Africa to really have the white people run it, and they would become great themselves. So that answers why it got taken down, because it promotes a sort of racial hierarchy that is seen as problematic to a lot of people, including the museum, who is the one who initially requested to take the statue down. I think the important thing to note about this particular instance is that in June 2020, as a result of the protests following the murder of George Floyd, the museum itself requested to take the statue down, even though in 2017 there was a commission established by the mayor at the time, Bill de Blasio, to investigate these sort of monuments. But they said it was okay to stay, but that more research needed to be done. However, the museum requested to take it down in June of 2020, and as of last night, it was finally removed in January of 2022. So it's a very slow process on that one. So that's the story, that's the background, and that's what happened. So I think it's important now for me to delve into my thoughts on A, this particular removal of the Roosevelt statue, and B, my view on renaming and removing various pieces of commemorative works for different historical figures. So in terms of this statue and its removal, let me preface this by saying I'm a huge fan of Theodore Roosevelt. He's one of my favorite U.S. presidents. I guess that's a common thing that people do. They rank their favorite presidents, but whatever. He was one of my favorite presidents. I love what he did policy-wise, and what he stood for as a leader in the United States. He did a lot of good things. However, his views on race make this statue something that I understand why they took it down, and I'm not really mad about this particular one. If it was literally just a statue of Roosevelt, I would be upset if they took it down, because the statue would be highlighting his conservation efforts and not his racial efforts. And really, his stance on race is one of his only real big blind spots. And so I think a statue highlighting his views on race, I understand why they took it down, and I'm not really upset about it. And you know, I can agree with the move. I don't like to see a statue of Theodore Roosevelt removed, but I get it in this context, and I agree with the decision in this context. And so that's really where I would not want to take this into the larger, my larger views on this sort of thing of removing monuments and renaming streets, et cetera, et cetera. It all really depends on the context, and it all depends on people doing their homework. In the case of this Theodore Roosevelt statue, people did their homework. And the museum did their homework, obviously, and they requested that it be taken down, and it was taken down. And I can appreciate the effort, you know? And generally, I am for the removal of different statues. But again, it all comes down to context. Particularly, you saw a lot of Civil War, and particularly Southern side of the Civil War, statues being taken down in the last year. One of the most popular ones of that would be the Robert E. Lee statue that just came down in Richmond, Virginia. You know, things like that, where you commemorate individuals who literally turn their weapons on the United States, that I'm 100% for, almost without exception. I'm almost without exception in favor of removing Confederate monuments from the United States. I'm not even going to say without exception. I'm not going to say with exception. Like, without exception, I am 100% in favor of removing Confederate monuments. The difference between statues and things like historical signs on the side of the street, even, is that statues commemorate and they honor and they praise the values of the people that they are building the statue out of. And so to do it with, say, Confederate leaders is, you know, you're commemorating the values of turning your guns against the United States and acting and starting a war over preserving the right to own a slave, and to own a human being as a slave. And so that's really an important thing for me. But anything beyond that, personally, in my opinion, it comes down to the context. Things like this Roosevelt statue, like I said, I agree with its removal. I don't love that it got removed, but I understand why, and I agree with the decision. The statue puts forth a racial hierarchy that was sort of argued in terms of his personal opinions and even some policy, not policy decisions, but even some decisions on behalf of his administration, that there was a racial hierarchy, and that should not be celebrated. You know, we have plenty of people in the United States who either had more progressive views on race and should be celebrated for that, or if you're going to celebrate somebody like Theodore Roosevelt, celebrate other aspects of his personage, you know, not his racial views, because those were certainly not worth celebrating. So generally, I do feel that renaming streets, for example, Lee Highway, which is a long road that travels through a large chunk of the state of Virginia, was recently renamed Langston Boulevard after an abolitionist in the 1800s. And it's great, because now you've changed the name from a road commemorating the general of the Confederate Army, Army of Northern Virginia, and the leader of the Confederate forces in the Civil War, and now you've changed it to somebody who was an abolitionist in the 1800s. And so you've changed the meaning, and you've changed what we're celebrating, you've changed what we're commemorating. And to me, this is generally a good thing. You know, you have things like roads, streets, buildings, statues that push forth the values of our time. And by and large, if those statues are inconsistent with our values today, I generally see that we have no obligation to keep them up. Now, there is a line. There's a very fine line here where we take off and we stop celebrating what is wrong, and that's the one side of the line. And the other side of the line is we start rewriting history by removing things that we don't agree with. There obviously is a fine line between acknowledging what happened and at the same time, you know, not commemorating and not celebrating the things that have held us back as a society. And I think that When you run these things as a case-by-case basis and you really look at it and you say, okay, well, this statue that commemorates racial hierarchy, that's probably not good and we don't want to celebrate that anymore, then it's okay, you know? But in my eyes, it can't come to the point where we start to stop celebrating all of the other contributions that, say, somebody like Theodore Roosevelt had on our society. The FDA, the National Park Service, improvement of labor laws, the breaking up of trusts, all these things, we can't, you know, brush those off because of his controversial racial views. And so it's going to be interesting to see where that line is, the line between not promoting values of the past that don't work for us anymore and starting to undermine and ignore the good contributions of these American significant figures in American history as well. And it'll be interesting to see where that line is and how that line shifts as time goes on.